Inner Voice, a heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Inner Voice Show. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain and have Sean in studio. This is a show about what matters most in our life, our minds, our thoughts, feelings, actions, relationships, and our fulfillment in this beautiful journey of life. Today, I will share with you some of my thoughts about how to be a close friend and intimate with our partners and how to apologize, which is really important. Then I'll be speaking with Dr. Paul Napper and about his book. He is a leading psychologist and leading leadership consultant and the author of The Power of Agency, The Seven Principles to Conquer Obstacles, Make Effective Decisions, and Create a Life on Your Own Terms. And I really want to ask you to subscribe to my YouTube channel, which is Dr. Fujian Zain, Instagram, Dr. Fujian Zain, and Twitter, Dr. Zain. I really want to hear from you. Email me, go to my website, fujian.com. I want to hear from you, and we'll be right back with the tip of the week. Are you afraid? Are you getting panic attacks? Are you getting bored and can't stand it anymore at your home? Are you finding yourself in a bind with a relationship at home? Are you wondering what all of the fuss is? And are you determined to guard yourself against all others? Or worried about how am I going to pay my rent or mortgage? In respect to the coronavirus stress, I'm offering a sliding scale online psychotherapy for anyone in California and life coaching to anyone in the world who's suffering financially. Please connect with me at fujian.com, fujian.com.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
So this is the tip of the week. These are the things that I've actually witnessed this past week and thought about. I have witnessed experienced how an intimate relationship or a marriage can flourish and last many, many years. It comes down to, this is what I got, comes down to the intention of being each other's best friend forever. The yearning to be close to your mate can entice you to strive to be your best and promote their best at all times. It is difficult to remain a best friend when you only think of what works for you, regardless of what works for your mate. Usually what works for you is different and at times the opposite of what works for your mate. At times it becomes difficult to let go of your own need to fulfill your mate's needs or expectations. At times you would have to become someone new to fulfill your mate's needs. If you looked at those extensions of yourself as a gift of expansion, then you don't have to feel deprived or upset. You will see and experience the changes that you experience as a gift of being together and growing. The art of negotiation and compromise is essential for this togetherness, to know when it is the right time to move forward and when to set boundaries, to share what your values are, as well as hearing your mate's values, to listen with your heart and be willing to give the gift of yourself to your mate and receive with gratitude when your mate freely gives you the best of themselves. You will have access to experiencing oneness. This week, I've also been listening to an Unlocking Us podcast and the interview that Dr. Brené Brown had with Dr. Harriet Lerner. And I love both of them. I learned so much from the two of them. About the Dr. Lerner's latest book, Why Don't You, Won't You Apologize? So they talked about apologies, and I loved a two-part interview, but something that came up for me around it is the essential, apologies are essential to keeping us as a best friend and intimate relationship. Because a lot of times, although we have the best intentions, you know, we might hurt someone. So it's good to know how to apologize. There are times that we may apologize because we did something or said something that hurt someone. This could be, this could have been intentional or unintentional, right? Sometimes we do intentionally, like, I want to hurt them because I'm hurt. The responsibility of the acting in a way that possibly hurts someone lays on me, the one who is actually hurting someone. I've heard from some people that said, I was hurt so much that I wanted to hurt them back, or I just wanted to share how much I was hurt, but not really intended to hurt them. Or I've heard that I was just being myself and did not know that I was hurting someone. So regardless of the original intention, is it chosen action or a reaction by me impacted someone and hurt them? And I need to be responsible and accountable for my action. We may feel vulnerable, fear of being judged, fear of being belittled, being less than, fear of ego crushing, and fear of other person gloating with pride and ridiculing me, fear of being publicly shamed, fear of being wronged, fear of not being credible in the future in their eye if I apologize. I would feel shame, guilt, anger, righteousness, and helplessness. What other feelings while I apologize? We'll also gain closeness, restoring trust, intimacy, honor, integrity, pride, strength, clarity, openness, and a sense of closure and freedom when we apologize. So when I hurt someone, I'm being out of integrity with who I am as the best that I can be. So it would be very useful for me to actually apologize to myself and to the other person for hurting them. When we consider apologizing to ourselves as well as others, we're also restoring our own dignity and go back toward being whole and complete as a human being who can strive toward the betterment of myself and the world that I live in. So may you be free from the need to hurt yourself or others and free from feelings of fear or guilt by taking accountability, healing the wound and restoring connection by authentically apologizing. The beauty of an intimate relationship is in being all of you and giving the gift of all of you to another being who's willing to give it all. And in between, experience the oneness. And may you experience the beauty and of the feeling of the oneness within togetherness. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back with Heart to Heart Chat with Dr. Paul Knapper.
Take KMET 1490 AM with you everywhere you go by downloading our free smartphone apps found on the KMET website, KMET1490AM.com. You can also go to the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store on your phone to download the free app. Now you can listen live or play any of your favorite programmers' podcasts using your smartphone. Don't miss out on the free KMET smartphone apps. Go to KMET1490AM.com and download your free phone app today.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want by Dr. Fujian Zane. You can get it now at Fujon.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want. You deserve it. Are you afraid? Are you getting panic attacks? Are you getting bored and can't stand it anymore at your home? Are you finding yourself in a bind with a relationship at home? Are you wondering what all of the fuss is? And are you determined to guard yourself against all others? Or worried about how am I going to pay my rent or mortgage? In respect to the coronavirus stress, I'm offering a sliding scale online psychotherapy for anyone in California and life coaching to anyone in the world who's suffering financially. Please connect with me at Fujon.com, Foojan.com.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujon. Dr. Fujon is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, the awareness path to create the life you want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujon. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Show. I'm Dr. Fujon Zane, and I am excited to have Dr. Paul Napper with me. He is a leading psychology and leadership consultant. His client list include Fortune 500 companies, nonprofits, universities, and startups. He has held an advanced fellowship during the three-year academic appointment at Harvard Medical School and is the co-author with Dr. Anthony Rao of the new book, The Power of Agency, The Seven Principles to Conquer Obstacles, Make Effective Decisions, and Create a Life on Your Own Terms. Welcome to my show.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, you know, every couple of decades, there's a word that you keep hearing everywhere. And the word now is agency. So one of the things that I really want to hear from you is the definition of agency when we say human agency. I know that at this time where every one of us, I think every client that I've worked with in this past 2 months in you know, every guest that I've had, every time I turn on TV, there is a way of panic that's happening, an uncertainty that is happening. People are not themselves. They just can't fit into the mold that they were. And I don't even know if they really look at it, they really like the mold they were in, but it was familiar. But now even that familiarity is gone. Everything around them is different and people have no idea what to do and the future is very uncertain. So if you look at agency within this time, how would you describe it?
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, first of all, agency, very simply stated, is our human ability to make choices in our lives and to make better quality choices obviously produce a better quality life. So our capacity for agency is something that varies from person to person. It varies from situation to situation. It's something that can be learned and developed. But you know, another way to think of agency is us acting as effective agents for ourselves. Everybody understands the idea of a literary agent, a sports agent, a theatrical agent. This is someone who helps you, who makes decisions for you, who guides you, who helps you make good choices. And so agency is that thing that we all need. I like to say it's the most important thing that a lot of people have never heard of. It's that thing that's always in operation behind the scenes. And it largely defines us, because at the end of the day, you could say our lives are a sum total of all the decisions we make, you know, over the course of our lives. And yet, you know, so many of us don't really think too much about how we actually make choices. And there's science there, which we can go into later. But so agency is an important thing, especially with the COVID crisis, as you brought up, because we're all struggling to adapt to a completely new reality. And agency is the thing that actually helps us to adapt to whatever situation we find ourselves in. So we need to, you know, kind of dig deep. We need to figure out what we need to do, make sense of the situation we find ourselves in, and then make good choices. So that, in a nutshell, I mean, that is what human agency is. And awesome. One last quick point on it is simply, you know, we watch movies. Most of us love stories. We read books, we watch movies. Typically, the movies we watch, the stories we read, are about high agency people. They're about people who do something unusual. They do something with their human faculties that allows them to kind of rise above the everyday. And that's incredibly inspiring for us as people. So that's a really, so just a long-winded answer to your question of what is agency. It's a different, but that's essentially what it is.
And you also say in your book, agency is fundamentally the ability to slow down, which we really need at this time. We have slowed down, but not our mind. I think that, you know, by force we've slowed down, but it's to be able to slow down, focus, and size up your current situation and make good decisions. This comes from developing a capacity to pause, reflect, and deeply consider where you find yourself in its highest form. I know for myself, I think that in this time, I've had to reevaluate sometimes of who I am. And I think that also comes with part of what the agency is reflecting on who the person back here is, which is in operation and always active. And having the choice of who do I intend to be. And I think when we're looking at that pause and if, that you were talking about in your book, is to have the ability to pause, to look, to choose, and to move forward with it. You talk about seven principles of agency in your book. Let's go with the first principle, control stimuli.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm so glad you brought up the whole idea of pausing and reflecting, because one thing that many people aren't aware of is that, you know, what's changed over the last 20 to 30 years as we've gone increasingly, you know, digital and, you know, of course, we are really living in the information age with information readily available and being sort of pushed at us 24/7. So one of the things that's happened over the last 20 to 30 years is that slowly but surely the time that we used to have, the sort of downtime or the time for reflection, for pausing and reflecting, that time has just slowly been eroded and diminished. So we get to a point where people really are not taking the time to pause and reflect. I think it's one of the reasons why mindfulness sort of techniques have bubbled up more recently. But this is a really important issue, because it is our capacity to make sense of our situation and make good choices rests in part on this ability to pause and reflect and make sense of our situation. Without that, we can't hope to make good quality choices. So the first principle of agency, which you just asked about, is we call control stimuli. And what this means is that, you know, in the current context, we all need to be more aware of our exposure to messaging, to information, particularly to digital stimuli. And that, because when our brain is in an overstimulated state, which is for the vast majority of Americans, their brains are typically in an overstimulated state, we can't make the best choices for ourselves. We really are operating in a much more automatic sort of frame, And usually, you know, we're operating on someone else's agenda, somebody else who wants to influence us or sell us a product. Or so, you know, a lot of the messaging that comes out is designed to nudge us to do certain things. And if we aren't sort of pausing and reflecting and slowing some things down and being more aware of the amount of information we allow into our brains, we can easily fall into doing something that we're not actively choosing to do. We're just simply following the path of least resistance. So this first principle we call control stimuli, it's really designed to get a hold of the amount of stimuli you expose yourself to. And all stimuli, of course, is not bad. And we need some, and there's obviously very good stimuli. We talk about the balance of good stimuli versus bad. Digital stimulation is fine, but it needs to be balanced with periods of pausing and reflecting, also balanced with multi-sensory stimuli, which we get when we're in nature, when we are doing something, listening to music, or, you know, things like that. So we are better off, our brains are healthier when we actually are exposed to more multi-sensory stimuli, as opposed to simply being glued to a screen or, you know, to our social media feeds. So this is an important one. And a lot of people are writing about it now because of it. But it is the very first principle.
My experience has been that I have, there's so much out there to learn. And there's so much good stuff out there that I feel I want it all. And to be able to actually select, no, I'm not going to do this one. I'm just going to, you know, read this book, or I'm just going to watch this show, or there's this news here. Oh, there's a special here. Oh, there's, they opened up the beaches and it's sunny and I want to go out. And it's interesting about how many selections that we have out there to be able to choose. I know when I talk to like teenagers at that segment of the group that sometimes are, I think boredom is part of just growing up in that age. But even they are having too many stimuli coming at them. So there's a beauty in the variety of stimuli that are out there and having the options and choices. Because I'm 58. I remember, you know, coming to terms with, we didn't have only a couple of channels and only some hours on TV. And at one point the TV was still like black and white. We didn't have all these podcasts and audio books and, you know, television shows and then stream at any time you want. And these are like too many toys to have all at the same time. And the desire to have, you know, not to miss anything and wanting to be there. So this concept is really, really important to be able to hold on and really pick and choose what it is that you need at this time in order to move forward, which is appropriate for you. And I think in the same token, the second principle that you have in your book, which is associated selectively with people. Because I also find myself falling into other people's games or other people's needs when they're there, and forget that I have a goal, I have a plan, and I need rest for myself, and I need to take the time, you know, the 24 hour that we all have, and make it very, very selectively with people or stimuli that are there. Can you talk about the second principle a bit?
Absolutely. So the second principle, as you said, we call associate selectively. What this means is that we need to pay close attention to our relationships, particularly the people closest to us, those in our inner circle, because when we as humans surround ourselves with supportive people, people we can learn from, people who encourage us to be at our best, people who challenge us in a healthy way, we actually have more, you know, we have fuller access to our agency. So contrast that with, you know, when we're around somebody who's negative, who is critical, somebody who sort of undermines us subtly or sometimes not so subtly, or even worse, someone who's abusive, our level of agency plummets. So it's very important to think about the people in your life, and to try and, gather people around you who are much more supportive. Now, this extends as well, associate selectively extends also to the community you're in, the town you live in, or the neighborhood, the city, the state, the country, because if you are in an environment that is not conducive to human agency, that is, it's not a supportive environment, you're constantly swimming upstream, you're living in the wrong part of the country, or, your level of agency will be compromised. Because one important thing about agency is that it's always expressed through the relationships we're in. So agency is always expressed with and through the people around us. So if we're around people who, again, are healthy and interesting and open-minded and encourage us, again, to be at our best, we grow. We grow, we develop, we feel more confident, we feel more secure, and of course, we feel happier. And that's because we have fuller access to our agency. So this is an important one. And you see it, you see it when people are in abusive relationships, how they can easily, and you've seen this, I'm sure, in your practice, people can get to a place where they feel powerless, right? They can get to what psychologists like us call learned helplessness, where they just feel like there's nothing I can do to improve on my situation. The only thing I can do is sort of cower in the corner and just take it and hope the abuse stops. So this is an important principle.
I agree, because I think that most of people, whenever there's an anguish that really torments them, it's regarding some sort of a relationship that they're in there. Even if they're anguish about financial matters, most of the people that I hear is about how it is going to be in their relationship and the way they have to take care of their mate, their household, their children. So you see some people who are just single, although they might have issues with finances, the turmoil is much less when they're in a family system. So the concept of relatedness and relationship really can flourish us or bring us down and take away our success. You know, when somebody's really successful at work, but their relationship at home is suffering, they don't even feel the success in a way. They won't feel the fulfillment. So that is the second principle that you talk about, is one of the most important. And the next most important is the third one, which is you have to take care of your body. Because if you're not taking care of your body, the vehicle that the agency is supposed to run, you don't have anything. So the third one is move.
That's right. And when we say move, we actually mean what you just said. Take care of your physical body, your physical self. And that is because it turns out that we actually, as humans, we make decisions with our entire bodies. It's not just with our brain. So I think a lot of people think, it's just, I'm in my head, and if I'm physically unwell, that shouldn't prevent me from being able to make a decision. But actually, when our bodies are physically imbalanced, when our body is physically balanced, we make better life choices. We make better decisions. So this is an important one. And we talk about, movement. It's called MOVE, the principle, but it goes beyond that. We want you to pay attention to your diet, pay attention to your sleeping habits, pay attention to, are you getting enough rest throughout the day? All of these things really matter. And part of the reason for this, which we'll cover in a few moments when we talk about managing your emotions and your beliefs, is that humans are primarily emotional creatures. We are more emotional than we are thinking creatures. We have to kind of wade through our feelings in order to think critically. And so in some ways, when we're not feeling well, when we're physically out of sorts, it tends to produce, our emotions tend to be out of sorts. And in turn, our thinking is not at the same, level where it would be if we were, in a better physical state. So this is a very important one. So these first three principles we've just talked about that you introduced, one is control stimuli, two is associate selectively, three is move. These are the the three principles we call the behavioral principles. They involve making good behavioral choices, you know, surrounding yourself with good quality people, you know, eating healthy, exercising, or, you know, using your body for whatever you want to do, but being in movement. And then, of course, you know, monitoring the amount of stimuli that you expose yourself to. So we call those the behavioral, because they're more about, you know, doing certain behaviors. And then the final four principles are what we call cognitive principles. And those involve more how you think, how you process emotion, and really literally how you make decisions in your life.
Your fourth one says, position yourself as a learner. And I love this one, because I think the only way that I can say I have survived and kept my agency and have not gone psychotic has become because of this concept of the love of learning and the excitement that I get with learning. And learning, I don't mean just books, but learning from people, from behaviors, from anything that anything or anyone that's out there. It's like a level of a curiosity that is there to know what's going on out there, versus getting fixated with, I know what I know and it's enough, you know, I don't need to know more, and not to be limited in that. And that curiosity, I think, will keep us always open in yearning to be included, and yearning to expand and connect with whatever is out there.
Absolutely. We studied high agency people when we were researching for the book. And this was one principle that, you know, all high agency people had, is they actively positioned themselves to learn in all situations. And just as you said, you know, not just through reading, but also through asking people questions, through surrounding themselves with people who have knowledge in areas that they do not have, and you know, and sort of being very curious and open-minded. So positioning yourself as a learner is this idea of you know, it's being realistic in knowing that, you know, there's much knowledge that you do not possess. And that if you actively position yourself to learn, you actually can educate yourself, and then, of course, make better quality decisions. So we talk in this fourth principle about, you know, this idea of, you know, it has something to do with the people you surround yourself with as well. So back to associate selectively, if you surround yourself with people who know more than you do, people who you can learn from, that's enormously helpful. Everyone has a different learning style. Some people learn through reading and self-study. Some people learn exclusively through their relationships with other people. Some people learn from a combination of those things. But it's kind of to position yourself as a learner is to understand how you learn best, and to really be actively looking to learn as you go through each and every day, and being willing to question what you know now, and take in information, and then, you know, make sense of it.
And the next one is, as you said, manage your emotions and beliefs. I think I keep saying every one of your seven are great, because they are. This one is really important in our day-to-day life, not only internally, but also in how we relate to others and we create and form relationships and move forward. Especially even in the world of success of business, the business world is also a lot of connection. Is how many people you know, and how much you can connect with them in creation of moving and collaborating forward, or creating the steps for success for yourself or others. And that's even beyond your emotional fulfillment with in relationships with your intimate partners or your family members or your children and friends. And the key to that factor of all of these relationships are pretty much managing emotions and beliefs. Can you share with us about why you brought this into your book?
Yeah, this is perhaps one of the most challenging of the seven principles for us as humans. You know, and it's obviously why people wind up seeking out psychologists for help, because usually they've run into some problems managing their emotions, understanding their emotions, not knowing what to do with their emotions. So this is a really important one. And essentially this principle, it relates to the concept of emotional intelligence. It's knowing how you feel in the moment. It's accepting how you feel in the moment. It's putting a name to that feeling, and it's making sense of it and deciding, is it something I need to act on? Is it something I know it's simply a fleeting emotion that will pass in a few minutes to be replaced by another emotion? But so it's really, in some ways, having a, you know, an understanding of how emotions work. And in some ways, you know, how I'd like to describe it is, people with high agency have emotions, and emotions don't have them. So they're not necessarily run by their emotions. They value their emotions. They understand how useful emotions, you know, can be, because they are a form of intelligence, and they can be highly useful to us. But, you know, I think what can easily happen is, you know, for some people, is emotions run the show, and people, go from one emotion to the next, and their lives can become quite chaotic. So emotions, how we understand our emotions, what we do with them, it has a lot to do with how successful we're going to be, and how much agency we're going to have. And then lastly is beliefs. And, you know, it's interesting. We spend most of our time thinking about emotions, but beliefs, I want to say one thing here that may be a little provocative. We all as humans carry around beliefs. And we talk about in the book, we talk about beliefs as being necessary but temporary guides to us, to help us navigate through our lives. They're kind of like shortcuts. They're ways that we can sort of understand a situation. We plug into a belief and allow it to, you know, inform our choices. But far too few people actually challenge their beliefs, question their beliefs, update their beliefs. And this is where positioned self as learner comes in, because ideally, for us to have full access to our agency, as we learn, we should also be updating some of our beliefs. So this requires keeping an open mind. Far too many people get stuck in beliefs that actually are completely irrational, that don't serve them well. And they hold on sometimes to those beliefs as if they were absolute truths, when they're not. Most people, you know, sadly enough, most people have beliefs that, you know, can be actually quite irrational. And, you know, as they learn more, they can update those beliefs to something that serves them better. So this is an important, you know, how emotions and beliefs work together is obviously complicated stuff. But it's really cuts right to the core of agency, of, you know, because when we have our emotions and our beliefs, you know, kind of we have them as opposed to them having control of us, you know, we have a lot more power in our lives and thus a lot more agency.
You talk about check your intuition and stating that learning to access your intuition and ensuring that you use it wisely. So I wonder, how do you suggest for people to access their intuition? Because most of the time, there's my experience, my intuition is just, my intuition tells me all I need to do is to listen, because it's almost like an internal voice or an internal feeling or an internal experience or like a physical nudge in a way, where I would have to listen to see what it is and what the message is. What are your ways of sharing with our audience and how to access their intuition?
Yeah, great question. Well, first of all, let me just say, intuition is one of those things that's often misunderstood. A lot of times people mix it up with emotions, and, you know, for good reason. Intuition and emotions, you know, they have a relationship, but they're not the same thing. And so intuition can, as you just said beautifully, by the way, intuition can be a powerful way of knowing, of us having access to information and power. But if it's not used wisely, it can actually mislead us. So what we talk about with intuition is, one, it can be learned. You know, we can all learn to become more intuitive. It's not like some people, you know, are born, you know, with psychic abilities and, you know, and the rest of us are, you know, completely devoid of any talent in this area. Intuition can be learned and developed. But to access intuition requires us to be in a more relaxed state. So if we are in a very stressed out, very overstimulated, you know, highly agitated or anxious state, we are not going to have access to our intuition. So intuition, first and foremost, to answer your question, requires us to be in a more relaxed and balanced, grounded place. There are different types of intuition. We talk about the different types of intuition and when each type is useful. Why intuition is one of the seven principles? I get this question sometimes, is why is intuition that important? It turns out that for most of the decisions that people make are made through the use of intuition, not through the process of, you know, very logical, analytical, you know, more rational, deliberative thought, but actually their most decisions people make are through intuition. So it's very important to understand how intuition works, because it, when you do that, you're just, the quality of your decision-making improves dramatically. So understanding how intuition works, how to learn how to use it, you know, more wisely, is the goal of this sixth principle of agency. And it's fun. I mean, intuition can be a fun thing. There are a lot of people, it's funny, you've probably seen this in your practice. Some people consider intuition to be essential to them. And there are some people who look at intuition and think, oh, that's nonsense. That's you know, I'm not into horoscopes and astrology, and you know, intuition is ridiculous. I'm not. So we kind of try to debunk what intuition is. And, you know, this, in part, the chapter on intuition is based on the work, the very powerful work of Daniel Kahneman and Amos Tversky, two psychologists who did pioneering work in how human beings make decisions. And they talk a lot about intuition and, you know, and the role it plays and how it actually can be powerful, but also how it can limit us. So it's a really important one. I'm so glad you brought it up, because most people don't know how to use intuition in the best possible ways. Now you, I'm sure, do, because you know you use your intuition each and every day in your practice, I would guess.
I experience actually intuition as the most primitive of feeling or emotion or knowing and knowledge that comes from our survival base. That's my experience of it, where although my rational mind and, you know, this frontal cortex goes in and does all of the analysis and all of that, but there's still a nudge that tells me at the bottom of this, if this is going to be appropriate for me or not, or this is going to be favorable for me, if this is going to make me safe or not. So it doesn't have the language of the complex logical concepts, and it doesn't necessarily evaluate from the pros and cons and looking at all of that, which I think is wonderful, and we have to do. We have to use this part. That's why we have it. But I think in addition to that, it's that part of us that shows up and says, it's safe or it's not, or this is going to be good for you, or it's really going to ruin you. Don't go there. Although, you know, when you put it on your portfolio and do all the math, it appears good. But no, that's not for you. So I've used it, or it has shown me in that path, or when I've worked with clients, and after all of what we do with the pros and cons and putting it all together, I usually ask, now, what does your heart tell you? What does your intuition tell you? What is it that if you put all of these things that we worked and put it aside, and their amazing knowledge, and we just wanted to add the other piece to it, without that, like if you close your eyes and you listened, you know, you said all of this, and then you quieted down and you listened to the experience that shows up in your body, which to me, it's like very primal, what would it say? And usually that's how it shows up. I think it's a great factor and a great information that adds to the rest of the, you know, logical deductions that we do in order to make decisions. And your last one is deliberate, then act. So let's talk about that.
Well, I'm so glad you mentioned, when you were talking about intuition, the idea of you in your work with your clients, you ask them to be more rational and list the pros and cons, you know, for an important life decision. But then you ask them in addition, you know, what is their intuition telling them? Because actually that is what we want people to understand, is ideally for important decisions. So this isn't for every decision you need to make, you know, every day. It's not when you go to the market and you decide whether to buy broccoli or green beans. You know, those don't require, you know, deep analytical thought usually. But for important decisions that could change the life, you know, the direction of your life, for example, using intuition together with this more analytical, you know, logical, deliberative thought is really essential, you know, for us to get things right more than wrong. So the last principle of agency, principle 7, is called deliberate, then act. And the idea there is that when we slow things down and are more deliberate in how we pull something apart, analyze it logically, get the information, you know, relevant information that we need in order to make an informed decision. And we also, you know, take a little more time to be a bit more analytical and access something we call critical thinking as psychologists. And this can be learned just as intuition can be learned, this kind of more critical way of thinking can be learned. When we do that for important life decisions, we often, you know, get to a better place. So again, you know, intuition can be quite powerful. Intuition is seen as more automatic. It's more quick. It just, the intuition happens. It pops into your head, right? Like you said, I know if something's dangerous, right? Boom, the intuition just shows up. It's kind of reflexive. It's almost automatic. Deliberate then act, the 7th principle, does not show up like that. It's, you need to slow things down, pull things apart, you know, slowly kind of analytically, you know, logically reason your way through something. And for important decisions, you want to do that. For simple decisions, you can just go with what your intuition is telling you. But ideally, we recommend that people do what you suggested, that you practice with your clients, which is using both your logical reasoning, which is the more slower, deliberative thinking, and combining that with intuition, both, and saying, what is each telling me? How do I put those two things together? That really helps you to arrive at a better quality decision. So so using intuition when it's safe and when it's wise, and knowing when to slow things down and use that more analytical, logical, critical thinking, you know, really helps us to make better quality choices. And, you know, both can be learned. Both critical thinking and intuition can be taught and can be developed. So what we want people to do is learn more about that. Learn more about how to use both of those things, because it is so fundamental to your level of agency, which translates into, you know, making better choices in your life. So at the end of the day, as I said at the outset, when we first started talking, you know, we really are, as humans, we really are the sum total of all the choices we make over the course of our lives. And so it really helps if we understand, you know, better how we as humans actually make choices, how we make decisions. So we wrote this book with that in mind, and, you know, the goal is for people to have full access to their agency and to create lives that are consistent with their values and their interests, so that, you know, people can have a meaningful and authentic and full life. So that's really the point of agency, is that it allows you to create that for yourself.
So in 1 minute, if you were going to bring this book for people in a post-COVID, or not, we're not post-COVID yet, we're still in it, and then it's still kind of like looking forward into the post aspect of it. What would you say from that angle, and how people can utilize this book, The Power of Agency, The Seven Principles to Conquer Obstacles, Make Effective Decisions, and Create a Life on Your Own Terms, which many people will have to do again after, you know, going back to work and creating jobs and finding their life again and finding a new way of being out there.
In 1 minute. Absolutely. Great question. You know, what I would say in a minute is, one of the things that being in sheltering in place affords us is more time for reflection. We have more quiet time, most of us. And what I would say is make use of that time. Make use of the time, take care of yourself, get caught up on your sleep. You know, if you don't know how to eat well, you know, learn about eating healthy food. But take the time to reflect on where you are in your life, where you want to take yourself, and also, you know, what your values are. Because I know for many people, people are saying, you know, in some ways this crisis is causing me to reshuffle some of my priorities, you know, reorient myself a little bit. My values may have shifted in some ways. It's a good time to be, to more calmly, methodically, kind of give thought to where you find yourself, what your values are, and what kind of life you want to live post-COVID. Do you want to go back to exactly the way you had been living? Is that your most ideal life? Do you want to go back and make a few changes to that? Or do you want to make some dramatic changes to that? This is a time. You have one life, and you have the capacity. You have everyone has agency. It's just waiting for them to be, for it to be developed. So really, it's a great time to take the time you have to reflect more and really think deeply about where you find yourself and where you want to take yourself. And then think about how to get there, you know, once you've figured that out.
Beautiful. Well, everyone, Dr. Paul Napper, you can find the book at www.powerofagency.com. It is an amazing book. It actually has some exercises for you too. So it is an active book and you'll love it. The Power of Agency, The Seven Principles to Conquer Obstacles, Make Effective Decisions, and Create a Life on Your Own Term. Thank you so much for taking the time and being on my show.
Thank you so much for having me on your wonderful show. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed it very much.
Same here. And for all of you who are out there, create an amazing life for yourself and everyone around you. And until next week, bye-bye.